The scripture reading this morning will be taken from Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with the true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching.
Good morning. Feel like I should stand behind this pulpit today to balance it. I don't know. For those who've been going here for years, it's like, oh my, what's happening? The song leader is in the other pulpit. But, so I gotta balance it out. I don't have to stand over here. Sorry, you people aren't used to being this close. It's kind of scary, isn't it? Maybe I better mosey back on over a little bit. But, someone was asking a little earlier, what if I didn't remember the contribution today for the mission work and I still, contribute to that? Of course. During the week or next Sunday, you can bring a check and give it to one of the elders, or even put it in the contribution plate next Sunday. Just put South Africa on the memo line, and we'll definitely wait a few days to so everybody has an opportunity to give in that good work. Also, just want to thank everyone for the prayers this last week. We've really made an emphasis and a determination as a congregation to be praying every day. For the body of Christ here, to pray for our leaders, to pray for those who are in need, to pray for our spiritual growth and health, to pray for our mission works and our ministries and our servants, and just praying for a variety of needs that we have within the body of Christ, and to let people know that we're praying for them, to let people know what we're praying on their behalf, and to strengthen the intimacy and the connection and the love that we have as a church. Just want to encourage everyone to continue with that commitment, to continue in this coming week, to pray daily for the church. And if you find it helpful to use the little prayer card, the reminder, kind of having an emphasis every day in your prayers, please. There's several there. You can pick them up and continue to use them. But in whatever format your prayers take, and however you arrange that prayer time, it's such a blessing when we can be faithful as members of the body of Christ that pray for the church. And I just want to encourage us all to continue with that. I joined a new club last week. I'm pretty excited about it. It's called the Black Angus Prime Club. And they do things like send me nifty little coupons and give me a free dessert on my birthday. How great is that? It's free after I buy a $25 steak. I get this little piece of pie for absolutely nothing. But, you know, I'm pretty excited about being a Prime member and getting all these things. All I had to do is give them my email. It'll come along with my Rodrigo's and my soup plantation. We talked about having memberships and things like AARP and places, that give us perks. I really don't like to brag, but I actually am a card-carrying member, gold card-carrying member of the CNR Clothiers Executive Club. How many of you remember CNR Clothiers? I think they went bankrupt in the early 90s. I'm waiting for a comeback. And I think I'm the only person in the country who has one of these gold cards. I was looking it up on eBay. I thought maybe I could make a fortune. You know, people sell a Cheeto for $90,000. Maybe somebody wants an executive card. So far, there haven't been any takers, but I'll work out a private deal if you're interested in that. But sometimes we're involved in groups that have expectations of us, and we make commitments to them. When I was in college, I was a member of a service fraternity called Alpha Phi Omega. And we had the secret handshake and everything, but we also were a group of Christian young men that did service projects together in the community. That was kind of what, you know, there were expectations of involvement and doing something in the group. When I moved to, we moved to Petaluma just to try to get to know men in town, to meet people and, you know, people who've been living there and people in business. I was encouraged by a friend of mine who was in business there to join the Lions Club. And I was in the Lions Club for several years, and got involved and did certain projects for that, and some of the good works they were doing, especially with caring for the blind. And all of us, we have those groups that we're a part of, and we're in them for a while, and maybe some of us have been in clubs or organizations for years and we really enjoy it. Or maybe after a year or two, our interest changes, or we move, or we just don't really want to continue anymore, and maybe we stop. I'm not in the Lions Club anymore. I haven't been for a long time. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's perfectly fine to be involved in those kinds of groups and to find enjoyment in them. But then there's the church. Oh, no. No, I don't believe that. Can you believe? Interrupt the sermon. Who is this guy over here? To show his Jitterbug Club card. So, he's got a card. You can go to Ruby's now. I'll go to Black Angus. You can go to Ruby's. That sounds like a pretty fair deal. When it comes to the church, it's a whole different thing. And I think sometimes people think of the church like one of those clubs. You come and go, you do as you please, you're here and there. Yeah, if it works out, whatever. If not, take off. But realizing that in the church, we're a part of the church because of the grace of God reaching down to us in love through Jesus Christ. We're part of the church because of the redeeming love of Jesus, the blood that He shed for us on the cross, the Holy Spirit who has regenerated us to new life and dwells within us to make us new creatures, sons and daughters of God, members of the family, and also members of the body of Christ. Being a part of the church is so different. To say I am a church member is to say I am a part of the living body of Jesus Christ on this earth. As Paul said, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. We were all made to drink of one spirit. This is an incredible thing that God has done to make you and me living limbs, members, parts of the very spiritual body of Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to be a part of the body of Christ. This is so much, so different than anything else in life which we're a part of, to be connected to Jesus Christ. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We're interconnected. The spiritual life of Jesus flows through each one of us, not just individually, but as we are connected one to another. In the church, we're not independent. You don't go it alone in the church. In the church, we are interdependent. We are connected. We are a single body, each of us a member or a part of that body, and Christ the head of that body. And in that body, we serve one another. We belong to one another. We're part of one another. And in such a relationship as we have in Christ and in the body of Christ in the church, one of the characteristics that is called for in us is faithfulness. To be faithful. We've been singing this morning about our God and His faithfulness. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord God, my Father. Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered brow. We've sung about the faithful love of Jesus, the faithfulness of our God to us. Our God is faithful. And as members of the body of Christ, it follows that we are called to be faithful. We're called to be faithful to God, faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, faithful to the body of Jesus Christ on the earth, the church, and especially the church of which we are a part. How do we demonstrate here? How do we demonstrate in the body of Christ that is localized in this fellowship among ourselves? How do we demonstrate faithfulness? How do we show faithfulness in the body of Christ as it relates to our life together here? There's so much that can be said. We're just going to touch on a couple of things today that I hope will be helpful to all of us and thought-provoking to us and reminders to us. The first thing is to be faithful to one another. To be faithful to one another, to be faithful to the congregation, to be faithful to the church, not to give up on each other, not to walk out on each other, not to turn our backs on each other, to stay together, to say, I am a part of you, I am a part of this, and you can count on that continuing. I am going to be faithful. I became a Christian in 1964, and I was 12 years old. And I started that same month, or the next month probably, going to the men's business meetings at church. We had elders where I grew up, but we also had men's business meetings. Okay, I wasn't technically a man probably at the age of 12, but I went anyway. And it was interesting. It was really interesting. I would just sit there and kind of watch what happened. And the elders were up, you know, kind of leading the meeting. And all the guys, men were giving their opinions and their thoughts on this and that. It went along pretty well. But there was this one fella in the business meeting who just always, month to month, almost always seemed to be kind of negative. Not kind of negative, negative. He always found out something that was wrong or something. He could always point out some problem or some negative issue, whatever the subject happened to be. And I mean, I'd known this guy all my life and I'd never seen him act like this. It was kind of strange. I'm sitting there, you know, as a 12 year old watching this man, and he got so animated at times, he got up on his feet. He stood up in the meetings. We met in the auditorium. We had like, you know, 7 or 8 rows of men, and this brother would stand up. And I thought, whoa, he's standing. And then he would start going like this. And I thought, by the way, this got exciting. I had never missed a men's business meeting once. But it was like, wow, I thought, what's going on here? What's with this guy? How is he acting like this? And as I got older, you know, and life in the church, you begin to realize that we've got our problems, that we're not perfect, that there are no perfect brothers or sisters in Christ. And sometimes people would come and they tell you, you know, they would confess to the church some horrible things that had happened in their life and wanting to be reconciled with God and praying. You would pray about those things together. And sometimes in this life, in this church, as you get older and get more and more involved, you find out people aren't always what you thought they were. Or maybe people let you down or somebody hurts your feelings or something doesn't go your way. And it's really easy, if you're not careful, to become disillusioned with the church and how we react. When you kind of come to that realization that, you know what, there are problems here. There are problems among us. We have differences of opinion at times, and sometimes people don't act maybe the way they ought to. When that happens, how we respond is of such great importance. I mean, one way to respond is just to say, you know what, there are just so many hypocrites in the church, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. If that's the way it's going to be in the church, if that's the way people are going to be, that's not the way to act, that's not the way to live. And so I'm just, you know, I'm leaving. Hypocrites in the church? Are there hypocrites in the church? Where else would they be? Really? Have you ever gone out in the world and said, you people out here in the world, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. You pretend to be so bad, and deep down, you're so good. I mean, I'm not trying to make light of hypocrisy here, okay? There's hypocrisy. Anytime you have any kind of religious belief, there's going to be some kind of hypocrisy in some individual. But you know what I find out more often than not? Is that sometimes what we're talking about when we say hypocrisy is just like, you know, that brother failed. That sister sinned. She fell short right there. It's like, it's not that people are necessarily trying to put on some facade and be some holier-than-thou kind of individual. That's hypocrisy. But sometimes we just look at the failings of people, and when people sin or fall short of what God wants them to be, we paint them with that label. We slap the label of hypocrite on them. And more likely, they're just sinners. Like me. Like me. You know, Jesus says, why do you see the speck in your brother's eye and you do not even notice the log in your own? You know, maybe when I'm kind of pointing out and thinking about folks, maybe I'm the one who's bordering on hypocrisy. I know that as I grew up, and you know, I mean, you can bet I talked to my dad after that business meeting. You know, I always had a lot of questions for my dad, but you know, my dad taught me and modeled this, that, you know, when you see something in your brother or sister that maybe not be exactly what you would hope to see, or maybe in that moment you'd have to admit, yeah, that maybe they fell a little short, it gives you an opportunity to demonstrate unconditional love. It gives you an opportunity to love them and to care for them and to do what you might be able to do to encourage them or to bless them in their life. Because God loves me unconditionally. God loves me though I've failed and though I've fallen short. We're not faithful to the church universally or faithful to the church locally, the body of Christ here, because we're all perfect and nobody here has ever made a mistake or fallen short. We're committed to one another here because we're all members of the body of Christ. And we value that and we respect that in each other and we long to make sure that we have each other's backs and we have that kind of supportive fellowship. It's about staying together and being family, being the body of Christ. That doesn't mean people never can or have never left congregations. Of course, that happens. And sometimes people leave congregations because they move or because of life situations change, and it can be done in a way that is a blessing for everybody is involved. And honestly, there are times when relationships can become so severed or a person's conscience can become so violated in a place where they have been a part of the family that for their own conscience sake, they find the need to be with another congregation. But when that happens, it's the last step. It's not the first step, is it? It's the last step. And when that happens, it's heartbreaking for everybody involved. And we sometimes understand that has to happen, but it doesn't make anybody very happy that it's happened. It's heartbreaking when that happens within the body of Christ. Because as Christians, we want to stay together. We want to work together. Paul says in Romans chapter 15, verse 7, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another. Work with one another here. You know, when you have a problem in your marriage, the first thought isn't, well, I think we're just going to have to divorce. You know, you find out your husband doesn't put his clothes in the dirty clothes hamper, and it's like, I'm out of here. Guys, it's not that hard, okay? Just put your dirty clothes in the hamper, be done with it. Let me just give you some advice. You know, it'll do a lot of good for you if you have that little problem. But you know what I'm saying? When we have a problem in a relationship that is dear to us, whether it's a marriage relationship or a parent-child relationship or a dear friend, we work on it. We try to resolve it. We talk together. We look for ways of being kind and compassionate and forgiving one another. And rebuilding or renewing a relationship if we've done something to hurt someone. To forgive, to be patient with one another. That's the way we are as members of the body of Christ. Just want to encourage all of us, the very best of our ability, let's be faithful to one another. Let's say to our brothers and sisters, you can count on me. I'm here for you. I'm going to be your brother or your sister. We're together as family. We're going to work together. We're going to be faithful to one another in our fellowship. And another area of faithfulness is regarding leaders within the body of Christ. To be faithful to leaders, for the church to have peace and to have direction, it's vital for all of us as members of the body of Christ to be faithful to our leaders. The writer Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. The writer of Hebrews is saying, look, the shepherds are the leaders, the elders of the church, they've got a heavy burden. Respect them, love them, submit to their leadership. This obviously is if their leadership is in line with the Word of God. That's, I think, obviously implied here. But he's saying, you know, work with them, make their work a blessing and don't be the cause of difficulty in that working relationship. But then you see this is a two-way street because Peter says to the leaders of the church, to the elders of the church in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 1, so I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. When you read passages in the New Testament about leadership and about the members within the body of Christ in a local church setting, what you read about is mutual love and respect. People caring about one another, recognizing the unique role each person has in the church. Every one of us submitting to the lordship of Christ. Every one of us submits to His lordship and to His authority over all of us. And in the church then, we find unity as we work together. I know that in this congregation, over the years, over the decades, the elders have received and experienced the love and the support of this congregation. And that's happened not because our elders are perfect, not because the elders never made a mistake, not because the elders, you know, can do no wrong, but it's that way because of your love for the church and your love and respect for your brothers who have led you and your commitment to follow the Word of God. And I would hope and pray that that the elders here would never have the kind of domineering spirit that Peter talks about, or ever lord it over the flock, or say, yeah, that's just the way it is because we're in control. And that if any such thing would happen, that our elders would be able to hear the voice of the congregation, letting the eldership know if such a thing were to exist. Because our goal is always, and has been, and what we've experienced has been, I think, a mutual love and respect and understanding for each other, and a faithfulness to one another. We're all members of the body of Christ. We're all faithful to the body. We may have different roles in that body, but our desire is to serve together faithfully. Faithful in our leadership support. Faithful in supporting one another. And the last thing I want to talk about today, there's so much that could be said, is just faithful in sharing life together. There's so much to say on this, and I just have time for a couple of things. I don't want you to think that what I'm about to say is the only application of this point. Because really what I'm trying to get at here is that in the body of Christ, what God intends is for every member of the body to be faithful in sharing themselves, their life, their energy, their passion, their ministry, sharing everything together. Where church isn't a Sunday morning, an hour a week kind of proposition, but church membership is a part of a body that lives and breathes and works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week as the body of Christ on this earth. And that we see that and that we share in our life together. There's some ways that it's easy for us to see this happening and opportunities that we have to make it happen. Being together today, worshiping together today, coming together today to worship and praise God is a way that we can share our life together, and especially not only as we assemble and worship, but afterwards when we have a chance to talk and maybe have a meal together in the afternoon. When we come to Bible class on Sunday mornings, this is a time we come together and we're in the Word together. Feeding on the Word of God is the church. Feeding on God's Word together and encouraging one another. That's one of the ways that we demonstrate this kind of faithfulness in the body of Christ. When we get together on Sunday nights in our life groups, when we come together on Wednesday nights, when we serve together, when we get involved in different kinds of ministries together and we work side by side, when we just are friends during the week and talk to one another and connect with one another, sharing our lives with each other. Now, it's God's plan for the church to share everything together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, the writer said, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." There's a problem in the churches that this brother is writing to, and the problem is some of them have gotten to the point where they're just withholding themselves from the fellowship of the church. They're not getting together with their brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think he's talking only about the Sunday morning assembly. He's talking about a pattern that's developed where people are pulling back from the fellowship, where they're pulling away, and they're discouraged and they're hurting, and so they begin to pull away from their brothers and sisters in Christ, which has a discouraging and debilitating effect on the whole church, which weakens them spiritually and hurts the brother or sister who's pulling away. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't do that. You need to get together. You need to be with your brothers and sisters. That's where you encourage each other. That's where you find out who your brother and sister are, and you spur them on to do good things, and you spur on the church to love And that's something that is to happen day by day. Now, this isn't our only motivation for doing what we do. We came together, first thought in my mind, I'm guessing yours. We came together this morning to praise God, to worship, because we long to praise God today. We want to worship Him. We want to sing praises. We want to commune at the Lord's table. We want to come as a church and pray before God. That's the reason we come together to worship. When we came to Bible class this morning, I think our primary motive was we want to study the Word. We want to open up the Word of God. We want the Word of God to be put into our hearts. We want to learn how to apply God's Word to our life. And the same thing for so many of the things that we do together. But there's this secondary effect, which is just in a sense as important. And that is that whenever we do come together for these activities, it strengthens the body as a whole. It encourages one another in these things that we're doing. It's a component of our life together so that when we come together, we worship together. We study the Word of God in our Bible classes together. We meet in homes tonight together with one another. The times that we come together are a blessing for us in helping us be faithful to one another. So that if I don't come to Bible class, not only am I missing a great opportunity personally to study the Word of God, to hear God's Word, to put it in my heart, but I'm also missing an opportunity to encourage the people who are there, to share the insights I might have in that Bible study lesson, to hear the insights that other people might have in that Bible lesson, to support and encourage a teacher who is spending time in the week to prepare that lesson and using their spiritual gift to bless the church. When you and I come together in that setting, there's so many things that go on. Yes, we're learning the Word of God, but we're supporting one another. We're encouraging one another. We're encouraging a teacher to use and to develop their gift. Imagine being a teacher and you've prepared all week and you are so excited to teach and no one comes to class. That happens sometimes. We have teachers who prepare lessons, and sometimes there are no students in the class. Now, the student's primary reason to be there is not to encourage their teacher, but their presence accomplishes so much. Because what's supposed to happen in the life of the church is it's not just these moments, it's all of life. It's sharing all of our life together, every day, everything that we do. And, you know, anybody can get their name in the church directory. That's not church membership. That's your name in a book that says, yeah, you attend here and here's your information. Church membership is being faithful in sharing your life. And we do so when we come together to study, when we come together to worship, and when we meet together on Sunday evenings, when we do these things, we are not only growing in our faith individually, but we are connected to brothers and sisters in Christ, which is of vital importance for us to maintain our own spiritual strength. And not only that, but to be a source of spiritual strength for others who may need it. And if we're not a part of it, then we can't be that to them. It's so important for us to share our life together. And I have to just say at least one word to parents, and particularly to fathers, but to all parents. You have the responsibility to teach your children, the Word of God, to instill in your children and to model in the lives of your children faithfulness to your God, faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and faithfulness to the church, to the body of Christ. And that is a responsibility that is yours alone and that you're accountable for. And I know you're probably tired of hearing about my mom and dad, but when I talk about my mom and dad, I'm not bragging on me. I was just a kid, okay? I just did what they told me to do. And I will be eternally grateful to my mom and dad. Literally, when I stand before God, I will give thanks to my God for my mom and dad and the way that they brought us up in our family. because the way that they modeled and taught and led our family made such an impact on my life that will never be erased. That is so very important to me. I mean, it was just simply this. God was first. God was first in our family above everything else. And again, I'm not bragging and saying, I mean, I was a kid. It was my parents who were modeling this. It was my parents who were living this life. They were the ones who were teaching and instructing and showing it to me and to my sister. But that's the way it was when we grew up. I don't know what's true for a lot of you. Church was number, that was it. Our life was in the church. Dad worked, mom worked at times. They had friends in the community. But our life, the spiritual life of our family was so rooted in the body of Christ. And we were there. We were involved. We did everything. Wednesday night, if I didn't have my homework done before Bible school, then I stayed up late after Bible school and finished my homework because I was going to Bible school. You know, I never told a Little League coach, told my Wednesday night Bible school teacher, sorry, I got a game tonight. No, my mom and dad said, no, you go tell your teacher, your coach, you can play till 6:45 and then we're picking you up and you're going to Bible class. That was just the way it was. I've told you this before. I always wanted to be a Cub Scout. Well, not always, but for a couple of years anyway. And I think I really wanted the blue uniform and the cap. I really wanted to be a Cub Scout. And I went to my first Cub Scout meeting in our neighborhood. There was a troop meeting a couple blocks away, and it was on a Tuesday night. And I went there, and I was so excited. I was just getting ready to order my uniform and get my scarf and all that kind of stuff. And then they announced, oh, by the way, next week we're going to start meeting on Wednesdays. And that was my last Cub Scout meeting. Now, you may think my parents were just mean and rotten and nasty because I was never a Cub Scout. But you know what? I'm okay with it. I'm fine with that. You know, I wish the Cub Scouts would have stayed on Tuesday night. I could have been a Cub Scout too. But when it came between, am I going to go to Bible class or am I going to be a Cub Scout? If it's got to be one or the other, that's a no-brainer. I mean, you didn't have a conversation. Because that's just the way life in the family was. That's the way my parents lived. And they modeled it. I didn't think about it, you know, but it impacted me nonetheless as I continued to grow up. Why is it that so often church becomes the thing that's dispensable today? We say no to God more. Maybe we're too busy. Maybe we've got too many irons in the fire. I don't know. Parents, this is something you have to wrestle with yourself. I know it's they're tough calls to make. You're the parent though. You're the decision maker. You're the teacher. You're the model. But why do we tell God no? Why do we find it so easy to tell God no instead of saying to the world, no, sorry, we're not going to be able to do everything. We're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to invest a whole lot of time in that because it conflicts with our commitment to God and to the local church to which we are faithful and to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are a part of that. And if you're thinking I'm just kind of on this legalistic rant here, like you didn't come to church Wednesday night, you didn't get your name checked off, you're in trouble with the Lord. That's not where I'm coming from. That is not at all where I'm coming from. But what I'm saying is, that when you and I make a determination that God and the kingdom and the church are first in our lives, we'll just make decisions that reflect that. I'm not talking about getting your checklist done. That's a whole, please, no. That's not it at all. That's not it. I'm just talking about having a priority and a commitment to the body of Christ. My kids are not little anymore, as you all know. They're not young. Those years are gone. I can't call them back. I cannot change the way that I raise my children. It's done. It's over. I can't go back and make any changes now. I can maybe try to repair some things if there's something I could do now as an adult and there as adults. But you know, parents, you don't recall these years and they're gone. And the question is, what will your children say about these years of their life? Will they say, you know what? God was number one in our family. There was we served the Lord. Our family was in Christ, and we were part of the body of Christ, and we were there, and I knew everybody at church, and even when I was a kid, I knew all the older people, and we were a family. We just lived as the body of Christ together, and we supported each other, and we served. Or will your children grow up and say, yeah, we went to church a lot. We were there quite a bit. You know, if there wasn't something else going on, if we didn't sleep in, then we would be there. What will your children say about their experience as they grow older? Nothing in life is more important than faithfulness to God and faithfulness to the Lord and faithfulness to the body of Christ. And I'll tell you, I have to say this. Over the last 45 years, I've heard a lot of parents voice their regrets. I've talked to a lot of parents who have had regrets in their lives that are heartbreaking regarding their children. But there is one regret I have never heard expressed. And that is, you know, we were just too faithful at the church. We were just too involved with the local congregation. I've never heard anybody say that as a regret. Because there's no regret in that. It's about being faithful. It's about being part of something that is spiritual and that is godly and that is the body of Christ. And we're church members. We're church members. We're members of that body. And by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we are members of the body of Christ. And we long to be faithful members of that body. And the blessings that we receive, oh my, the blessings. I look back over the years of my life and the blessings that I've received because my parents were faithful. You know the brother that stood up there and did like this? That guy became one of my dad's best friends. And about 12, 14 years ago, I preached that brother's funeral. I mean, I've loved that man. He's been a dear friend to our family. Yeah, he was kind of rough around the edges at times. But you know what? We got to know each other, and we accepted one another, and we loved one another. And over the years, you have such great relationships with people, spanning all the years of your life. Brothers and sisters in Christ that impact you, that you never forget. When you're faithful to one another, when we're faithful in ministry, we have such great opportunities and experience to do things together in the church that bless other people, that serve, that reach out, but that also increase the intimacy that we have with one another. This God showers us with blessings because of our faithfulness. It's just it's the natural outgrowth of being faithful to the Lord. You're just going to be blessed. There's no two ways about it. You will be blessed for it. You will be strengthened. This isn't a life of drudgery. It is a life of joy and blessing in Christ. And what you and I want to hear more than anything else is one day for the Lord to say to us, as the Master did in that parable in Matthew 25, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful. I know faithfulness reaches beyond church attendance and Bible school. I realize that this is a broad subject that encompasses all of life. But as we think about it today, just as our local group, think about the ways that you and I can be faithful, faithful members of the body of Christ. And if you're not a part of that body to this day, if you haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given one Spirit to drink. If you're ready to come and become part of the body of Christ, the spiritual, living body of Jesus Christ on this earth, come today, confess your faith, be baptized, be filled with the Spirit, and become a part of the very body of Jesus on this earth, serving Him, loving that body, faithful as a member of the body of Christ. And if you need to respond to Him, come as we stand as we sing together.